It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wedgbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
we're looking at the theme of racism beyond the Confederate flag, recognizing that all of these issues have a bearing on the poor, but they have a bearing on immigrants, they have a bearing on African Americans. They have a bearing on people who are different, who are other, who are being challenged in our country.
Reverend Charles Swadley, interim president and CEO of the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy, and members of his staff talk about the policy priorities of the center for 2016. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn about what may be your last chance for 2016 affordable health insurance coverage. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 281, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. As you may be aware, open enrollment is in full swing for the 2016 health insurance coverage. January 31st is the last day of open enrollment and your last day to enroll in affordable health insurance for 2016. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, 70% of people will qualify for health insurance that costs less than $75 per month. Some people even qualify for free health insurance. Keep in mind that there is now a tax penalty for being uninsured. Unless you qualify for an exemption, the 2016 tax penalty will be $695 per adult and $347.50 per child, or 2.5% of the household income, whichever is higher. So don't miss out on your last opportunity for 2016 affordable health insurance coverage. You can apply and enroll on the phone by calling 1-800-318-2596 or online by visiting healthcare.gov. If you, like many people, find health insurance confusing, then help is available. There are trained assisters in your area who provide free, confidential assistance with the application process and plan selection tailored to the needs of you and your family. These individuals are also available year-round to assist with any issues that may arise, as well as to assist with exemption applications, appeals, and changes in circumstance. Enroll Virginia offers free in-person help in your language and in your community. Enroll Virginia will be hosting an enrollment event at Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, located at 101 West Broad Street, Richmond, Virginia, on Saturday, January 16th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enrollment assisters will be on site to provide free enrollment assistance. If you need assistance enrolling in a new policy or have questions about your current policy, come to CVLAS on January 16th, and one of our skilled assisters will be at your disposal. No appointments are necessary. To assist in the process, please bring your driver's license, state-issued ID or passport, as well as Social Security numbers for all members of the household. In addition, please bring employment and income information for all members of the household. Lastly, please bring information about any other insurance that may be available to you. If you have any questions prior to the event or cannot attend the event and want to set up an appointment with an assister, please call 804-200-6035 and someone will be happy to assist. In addition, more information is available online at www.enroll-virginia.com. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegebright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the offices of the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy, and we are speaking with the Reverend Charles Swadley, who is the interim president and executive director of the Virginia Interfaith Center, also with Karen Cameron, who is the director of Virginia Consumer Voices for Healthcare, and also with Becky Bowers-Lanier, who is the advocacy consultant for the Virginia Interfaith Center. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
We will start with you, Reverend Swadley. Would you tell us briefly about the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy?
Yes, thank you. The Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy is an organization that's been in existence now for 34 years, springing from the Virginia Council of Churches in 1982 to become a multi-faith organization that will respond on economic, criminal justice, various policies that affect the most vulnerable in the Commonwealth of Virginia on behalf of a multi-group of faith communities, Abrahamic at first, but now moving into other areas with Unitarian and also Hindu, Sikh, various faiths that are diverse across the entire Commonwealth. And so that's our effort.
And, of course, today the General Assembly convened for its 2016 session, and one of the things that the Virginia Interfaith Center does is do the type of advocacy you just described. And I understand this year the center, as usual, has policy priorities, and there are four of them in number, and we will go through them, starting with access to health care. And I understand that that is your bailiwick, Karen. Would you tell our listening audience what is the issue on access to health care?
Thank you. Yes, currently in Virginia, we have what's called a coverage gap. With the Affordable Care Act, many folks got access to health care through the federal marketplace here in Virginia, where they can get tax credits and potential premium assistance. The problem is there's about 200,000 people in Virginia who fall in what's called the coverage gap, which means that they fall under 100% of the federal poverty level, and because of Virginia's restrictive Medicaid program, do not qualify for Medicaid. And these folks are basically make too little to qualify for federal tax credits and yet do not have access to affordable coverage. Most of these folks are working people or family members of working people. They include over 20,000 veterans and or their families. And it's really creating a bad situation here.
Now, this has been an issue in the General Assembly for years before. And what strategies is the Interfaith Center going to be pursuing this time to try to persuade the General Assembly to do the right thing?
Well, our goal is to increase the grassroots, increase the knowledge of the average Virginian, who oftentimes is not aware that basically we're talking about folks who are making less, an individual who makes less than $12,000 a year, family of three that makes about $23,000, $24,000 or less, who really end up waiting until they get very sick to go to the emergency department. So what we're going to be doing is we're working with our grassroots. We want folks to sign up. We have a listserv that every week you can get an email from us about what's going on, and you have the opportunity to contact your legislator as well. And we're also educating our legislators and taking information to them to help to come up with a solution here in Virginia to help to meet the needs of these vulnerable populations.
And so those figures that you mentioned, I mean, you're talking about people who are earning under that amount of money per year. They can't get tax credits through the health insurance marketplace, and yet they make too much for Medicaid.
Well, and actually in Virginia, if you're a male or a female who are not a parent or not disabled, or not elderly, you will not get Medicaid in the state of Virginia. It doesn't matter how little you make.
In other words, you could be zero income. You're completely uninsured.
Right.
And so what do those people do?
Well, what happens is sometimes they can get care at a free clinic or a community health center, but many times that's too remote for them. They have transportation difficulties. There's long waits at those centers. So if they oftentimes wait until they're very ill. They go to the emergency department, and then that basically costs all of us, because those costs don't disappear. They become a part of everybody else's bill who can afford to pay, and or it causes economic instability in these families, and they're trying to pay off bills that they really can't afford, and they've only got a little bit of money left at the end of the month, if anything.
So this Medicaid expansion that you're talking about, is this going to cost the state of Virginia anything?
No, actually, the federal government is going to is paying currently 100% of the cost of the expanded population. But even if Virginia were to expand in the coming years, they would never pay more than 10% of the cost. And what's interesting about that is Virginia right now spends so much money on services that would be covered by this expanded program that the state actually would save millions of dollars by expanding Medicaid.
And I gather they would also bring back to Virginia money that we're not getting right now.
Right. We're millions of dollars. We've already spent $4.4 billion that has not come back to the state, that could have come back to the state over the last few years. And that's important money that could be used for education, et cetera.
Talking about people who have little money, it would be a good segue to the next issue, which is that of childhood hunger. And I understand, Charles, that is an issue that you have been working on. Would you tell us what the issue here is with childhood hunger in the state of Virginia?
About one out of six children in Virginia are going to school with a hunger deficiency. They are simply not ready to learn. They come to school with an empty stomach, and that ends up with possible behavior problems, anger, frustration, tired. They just aren't ready to learn. And so this is an issue that can roll over and affect a lot of things in children's lives, but education is the beginning point. And so we feel like the important part here is to provide food for children after the bell. We call after the bell breakfast, so that they can get a meal that it can get them off to a good start in school. There are certain programs that are working under a provisional basis with funds from the feds, but we need to have more infrastructure to build up the number of schools that can receive that aid in a creative way. We're looking through the introduced budget of the governor this year of about $1 million. It will build this structure up that could provide possibly for another 300 and some schools that could enter into this program. So it's important enough where the interfaith community, led by Bishop James Monty of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, has called us together to work together to convince the legislators to support the governor's new introduced budget with this $1 million plus. Hopefully we can build on this. We see this as a first step. But the most important thing is to make recognition that children are hungry, children are going to school and not prepared to learn, and then they also can become behavior and disciplinary problems, which can multiply the issues down the line. So hunger is an issue. Feeding them is something that's possible. It's now the importance of creating the will, and the religious community believes this is very important for every child to have that ability to learn and to be fed well.
Now, I'm aware that some school districts do have universal school breakfast, which I think is what you're more or less talking about here. Why is this not universal, and is that really the goal of this initiative by the Virginia Interfaith Center, to make it universal across the state?
Well, we would like it to be universal, but with the money coming to the feds, you have to have 62.5% of your school or your school district to qualify for a complete funding for that kind of universal breakfast. Now, there are other ways you can work around that with the figures, but it's going to be limiting. We have looked at, for instance, the state of West Virginia, where they have more universal breakfast, but 62.5% of their state do qualify under those poverty conditions, which Virginia does not. So therefore, there are pockets where you have this and pockets where there's no need for it. But at the same time, in both areas where there are people that are impoverished and those are not, they still have children that are going to school that are not being fed before they go to school. And this ends up being a problem for everybody. So universal breakfast is a universal solution to have all children ready to learn.
So the next issue that the Interfaith Center is dealing with this year is criminal justice issues, one of them being the felony threshold. And I understand that in the felony threshold, Virginia has a distinction that Virginia probably shouldn't have or shouldn't want to have. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, we're number one in being the lowest threshold in the country, and that is at $200. We share that low threshold with the state of New Jersey, and so with a grand larceny threshold of $200, that means that a young person in particular could be convicted of a felony. Now, of course, many are not convicted of a felony in that first attempt, maybe the second or third, but the point is that with such a low threshold like this, you're throwing away the key. If a child goes into the system under a felony charge, whether it's a first offense, second or third offense, the balance of justice means that that child, in all essence, will be in the system for life, because there's a recidivism rate, a return to the jail rate, of over 82%. So what our feeling is that it's important to balance the needs of caring for the community as well as protecting the retail community. What we want to see is that the threshold be raised to where it is like in, for instance, Delaware, or in Pennsylvania where it's $2,000, or South Carolina where it's $1,500, or other states where it has been going up based on an economic escalation each year. We stayed flat at $200, but that means that you've got more kids, more young people in the felony system, and therefore when they come out they can't get a job, the community gets hurt, the families get hurt, and what we want to do is see a way to turn this around. And it costs $150,000 per child to be incarcerated. We feel like that money can be better spent and better used to build other bridges for that child and that family to make a success. And that's the goal, for all children, all people, to return and be a contributing factor positively in the society, not to be throwing away the key for a low $200 threshold for a felony.
And for how long in Virginia have we had the felony threshold at a mere $200?
It has not changed since 1980.
And the Consumer Price Index, of course, has changed considerably since that time.
Even if you followed that, it would go to $600. But even now, some of the legislators are looking at a $500 increase. We are proposing and supporting many other groups who want to see it raised to $1,500, which is still right in the range of the other states around us. And we feel that this is not in any way going to impact a deterrent. The retail industry is the ones who have opposed this the most, and their concern is mainly for their own employees. 45% of them are involved. Of the theft rate in their stores, 45% is for their own employees or from gangs or mobs. We don't believe this has an impact on the rest of the state. They should deal with it in different ways. But to keep that low threshold down there is not the answer.
The next issue that the Virginia Interfaith Center we'll be dealing with this General Assembly session, and that would be economic justice. And we'll turn it over to you, Becky. What is the issue here for the Interfaith Center?
We are looking at several initiatives that deal with economic justice. One of them has to do with raising the minimum wage. This is going to be a tough road to hoe for us, because the business interests on one side versus the consumer interests on the other, and encouraging businesses to consider that it's a good business case for them to be paying their employees more than the minimum wage. We have an initiative that we're supporting that would raise the minimum wage from its current $7 and some change per hour to $15 an hour. That would not happen immediately. It would happen over a period of about 3 years, and then hopefully tied to inflation as we move forward.
Now, a number of other states have done this. What has been the result of raising the minimum wage in those other states?
The results are pretty good in terms of helping to lift people out of poverty. You can't make a living on a minimum wage. You can make a living if you have a minimum wage that starts at $15 an hour. It does serve as an incentive for contiguous states to raise their minimum wage. So we do have a situation, I believe, where the District of Columbia is moving in that direction or has moved, and the state of Maryland. So if I had a choice then of where I wanted to work and I lived close to the border, that could be considered as an incentive for me to work in an area where the minimum wage is higher.
So you're saying the benefit here is not only that people have more money in their pocket to spend and create more jobs, but also that the higher skilled workers won't come to Virginia. They'll go to the neighboring states that have a higher minimum wage.
Yeah, I see that as a double problem for us. But I think particularly the problem is on the individuals who live and cannot move, and also have to work more than one job, two jobs, three jobs, and the impact that has, especially if you have a situation where they can't get health care because they are not qualified for Medicaid, for example. So you have so many situations where the individual is placed in a very precarious position by having only to earn a minimum wage.
And are there other economic justice issues that the Virginia Interfaith Center is planning to pursue this General Assembly session?
One has to do with refunding, a partial refunding of the earned income tax credit, which is sort of complex in its nature. Individuals who are working families, can get earned income tax credits now, but those are not refunded. They're refunded by the federal tax system, but they're not refunded by the state. They do get the credit, but they don't get the refund. The Commonwealth Institute has said that measure in and of itself would help lift people out of poverty if we moved in that direction totally in Virginia.
So the General Assembly began today, and the Virginia Interfaith Center is going to be making its advocacy before the center. Just to conclude, Charles, would you tell us about the Day for the People, which is coming up shortly?
In 1 week, we will be having an advocacy day, and it will be called A Day for All People, which will be an invitation for people of all faiths, or even those without faith, if they would like to come and join us. And our emphasis this year is to look at all of our policies that we are giving consideration to through a filter, through a lens, if you would, of racial equity. We're looking at the theme of racism beyond the Confederate flag, recognizing that all of these issues have a bearing on the poor, but they have a bearing on immigrants. They have a bearing on African Americans. They have a bearing on people who are different, who are other, who are being challenged in our country. And so it's important that on this Day for All People, we gather at Virginia Union University in the morning at 8 o'clock. We'll begin to have a briefing on these issues, and then we'll go to the General Assembly. We'll return in the afternoon where we'll have the opportunity to be challenged by Dr. James Forbes, a very prominent African-American preacher of many decades, and that will be followed by an interfaith panel of young people, mostly, who will engage him in that question of what is racism today and how does this have an impact on their lives through this filter of racism, and how does it hurt or cripple people in their efforts to live a good life in this country.
Well, that sounds like a terrific program, and I urge people to consider joining it. We have been speaking with the Reverend Charles Swadley, who is the interim president and executive director of the Virginia Interfaith Center. Karen Cameron, who is the director of the Virginia Consumer Voices for Healthcare, and Becky Bowers-Lanier, who is the advocacy consultant to the Virginia Interfaith Center on Public Policy, about the four policy priorities for the Interfaith Center this year. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. The Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC, is the largest program that transfers money to low and moderate income people. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when attorney Nancy Rossner at the Community Tax Law Project explains the EITC that helps low-income workers keep more of their income. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.